Doctors Today. The latest developments in the world of medicine. Have you a child, or do you know a child who was born without normal control of his muscles? Would you like to help this spastic child to overcome his handicap? Here is how you can make the future brighter for a child with cerebral palsy. The American Medical Association, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations, presents Doctors Today, a weekly report on the progress of science and medicine in America. This week, a report on ways and means to combat spastic paralysis. We will first hear from Dr. W.W. Bauer, speaking for the American Medical Association. Dr. Bauer.
It's easy to be proud of a bright, handsome boy. It's not very difficult to raise a healthy and beautiful girl. You may fret and worry and have moments of real anxiety, and yet, without too much effort, things usually work out all right. But in 10,000 homes this year, a child will be born who is neither healthy nor handsome. Gradually, it becomes evident that this child has what doctors call cerebral palsy, and what is generally known as a spastic condition. This child will test the character of his mother and father, and if they are found wanting, he will pay the price, a helpless victim of their ignorance or their selfishness. All children need a sense of security and a feeling of being wanted, but this child needs love, security, and guidance beyond the needs of normal children. Let it be understood that parents are never at fault because a child is born a spastic. With this fact in mind, we bring you the story of Tommy Roberts.
No one has ever asked me this question, but I feel sure that a good many women have wanted to ask me, how does it feel to be the mother of a spastic child? There are a lot of ways in which I would have answered that question over a period of 16 years. The answer I would give you today is far different from the one I'd have given you when Tommy was 9 months old. Stan and I have never forgotten that evening when we sat down together and talked it over. When the children were all in their beds, Stan knocked the ashes out of his pipe and said,
"Well, it's getting close to bedtime."
"Yes, you go along, Stan. I have some darning and mending to do."
"Joni, what's the matter?"
"Why, there's nothing the matter, especially."
"Oh, yes, there is. Aren't you feeling well?"
"I feel fine. Why do you ask?"
"There's something on your mind. You've been very sharp with Kay lately, and you've been very short-tempered with Bobby. What's it all about?"
"Stan, you'd better run along to bed. You're going to have a big day tomorrow."
"I'd rather just sit here and talk to you, dear. Come on. Tell me what's bothering you."
"Well, Stan, you may as well know it now, I suppose. There's something wrong with Tommy. He isn't at all like Kay and Bobby were at his age."
"Hmm? What do you mean?"
"Oh, you must have noticed some of the things that I see."
"Joan, babies are all different. Maybe Tommy is a little slower than Kay and Bobby were at his age, but I don't see..."
"No, Stan. You don't see what I see. You aren't with him all day."
"All right. Tell me what it is that's bothering you."
"Well, for one thing, he always draws his hands up inside his sleeves. No matter how often I bring them out, he pulls them back up again."
"Oh, there's probably some good explanation for that."
"And when I do get him interested in a toy, he tries to reach out for it, but he just trembles all over."
"You mean he can't take hold of the rattle?"
"No, he reaches out, but he just paws the air."
"Hmm. I wonder why that is."
"And I can't set him up in any kind of a position. No matter how I prop him up with pillows, he topples over. Stan, we can't go on this way."
"Well, better take him over to Dr. Smith and see what he says."
"I already have. Dr. Smith looked him over and said we'd better see a specialist.
Who did he recommend?
Oh, two or three. There's one over in Kensington, Dr. Hart.
Well, let's take him over to Dr. Hart. But I think it's something he'll outgrow in a couple of months.
We padded his high chair, nursery chair, and carriage so that the constant jerking of his head wouldn't hurt him. We took him to Dr. Hart's office, and after a lengthy examination, Dr. Hart gave him to me, and he said...
You, say you have two older children?
Yes, Kay and Bobby.
And so far as you can see, they are normal and healthy?
Oh, we've had a little sickness, but nothing very serious.
Well, you're fortunate in having two older children who are doing so well. If this little fellow were the only one, that would make it more difficult.
In other words, you think we're going to have trouble with this one?
Yes, to raise this child properly and to bring him through his formative years so that he will someday become your pride and joy, that will call for a real sacrifice.
What's wrong with him, Doctor?
He is what is usually called a spastic child. Either before, during, or shortly after birth, the brain was affected, especially in the nerve centers that govern motion. Eventually, much can be done to overcome the effects of this disease, but in the meantime, you have a big job on your hands.
Do you suppose he inherited this condition?
Oh, no.
Well, is there any special way of feeding him or exercising him that will help?
He is to receive the same food as any other baby would. But he will present a problem in the way in which he is fed. He must also be exercised in special ways.
How long will this condition last, Doctor?
Every spastic presents a special problem, Mr. Roberts. Some respond to care and training faster than others.
But if we do everything possible, will he grow up to be a normal young man?
You can't hope to make him completely normal, but you can accomplish an amazing amount to overcome his handicap.
Does he have a normal mind?
We can't know about that until he's had more time to develop. But many spastics have very brilliant minds, so there's good reason to hope that Tommy will be normal.
Well, don't you think that any baby with such a sweet little smile would be intelligent?
Well, that's a pretty good indication, Mrs. Roberts. And now about the training that he needs.
Oh, yes.
I'll write out my suggestions. Miss Johnson, the public health nurse, will give you a good many good ideas. And you can get a lot of assistance from our Society for Crippled Children. Above all, remember that to develop confidence, he must always feel that he has your love.
For days I was stunned and shocked by the discovery that I had a spastic child. We decided that his brother and sister must realize that Tommy was not a normal child, so we called a little family conference.
Come in and sit down, Bobby. Mother and I have something we want to talk over with you.
I know what you're going to say, and it's all a big lie.
Why, Bobby, what do you mean?
I didn't break that window. Frank Carney broke it, and I can prove it by Paul Murphy.
Oh, well. No, son, this hasn't anything to do with broken windows. Take off your hat and sit down.
Okay.
Now, children, we want to talk to you about your baby brother.
Oh, is he sick?
Not sick exactly, but he has what the doctor calls a spastic condition. As he grows older, it's going to be very hard for him to learn how to eat, for instance. And it'll be years before he'll be able to walk.
Gee.
Mother's going to have to give him a lot more attention than she had to give you and Kay.
Oh, to think of him being so helpless. Oh, Mother.
I'm sure that little Tommy will help you both to realize how lucky you are that God gave you such fine, healthy bodies.
Oh, Mother, we'll do anything, just anything for our baby.
It was a joy and an inspiration to see how eager Kay and Bobby were to do their share in bringing up baby brother. Everything was going smoothly until Stan's mother arrived for a visit. Later that evening, she said some things that I've never forgotten.
I wonder if Kay and Tommy are asleep.
I think so, Mother. Haven't heard a sound from upstairs for at least 10 minutes.
Well, I've put off saying this as long as I could. But now I simply must talk to you about this terrible tragedy that's come into your life.
Oh, Mother.
But that isn't the way we feel about it at all, Mother.
Now, Joan, I know how you feel. You're willing to accept the burden because you have a subconscious feeling of guilt.
Guilt? You mean Joan thinks that she's to be blamed for something?
Yes, of course. But I don't feel that way about it at all. I was never one to point the finger of scorn when I might be harboring the serpent.
Mother, I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
Stanley, this might have come from our side of the family just as well as from Joan's side. Let's not be proud in our own conceit.
What might have come from what side of the family?
The family weakness that poor little Tommy inherited. After all, your Uncle Charlie was weak-minded. Your cousin Jerry is not very bright.
But Dr. Hart says that this condition is not hereditary.
No, Mother. He says that it may be due to an injury or disease, after or during birth.
Well, that may be. He should know. But you're surely not going to try to raise him along with your other children.
Why not?
Stanley, that would be very unfair to Kay and Bobby.
Well, I don't see that at all.
Oh, Joan, don't you see that it means showering all your attention on that poor little thing? Don't you realize that you'd be neglecting Kay and Bobby?
No, I don't. Stan and I will find time for them, too. Won't we, Stan?
No reason why not.
But that poor child will be so much better off in an institution where you'll get expert care.
What institution?
Why, there's a splendid home for feeble-minded children.
Feeble-minded? What makes you think that Tommy hasn't got a good mind?
Oh, Stanley, don't let your natural affection upset your better judgment. He's obviously feeble-minded.
I don't know how you would find that out, Mother. Dr. Hart checked him over very carefully.
Dr. Hart says it's too early to tell. He may have a brilliant mind.
Oh, these doctors and the things they say to cheer a person up. Well, I still feel that he'd be better off in an institution. Think how embarrassed you'll be when your friends drop in and see him.
I won't be embarrassed in the least.
And neither will I.
And if any of our friends feel uncomfortable around Tommy, we'll see if we can't find some new friends.
That's exactly the way I feel about it.
Oh, dear, I think that both of you are taking a very peculiar attitude. It's due to some guilt complex, of course.
Do we have to feel guilty to want to look after our own son?
And to give him our love and affection?
But you haven't the faintest idea of how to raise a child who is so tragically handicapped.
No, you're right about that, Mother. We're just a couple of dummies at the moment when it comes to knowing the answers. But we'll darn soon find out all the experts can tell us, won't we, Joan?
Mother, so long as I'm physically able to do so, I refuse to let anybody else bring up my children. Oh, I tell you, the attitude that some people take towards spastic children makes my blood run cold. Because they're so helpless at first, should we abandon them to the care of someone else? Because we don't know how to care for them, should we pretend that we can't learn how? From the very beginning, Kay and Bobby were wonderful in helping to look after baby brother. He couldn't pick up anything from the floor at first, so we put a basket of toys beside him, and we all took turns playing with him. I remember one evening, Stan came home and presented our daughter Kay with a reward for her patience and kindness.
Kay, here's a little something I picked up today that I thought you might like.
What is it, Dad?
Oh, it's a little old thingamabob.
A what?
Kay, for heaven's sakes, why don't you open the box and see what it is?
All right, I will.
Don't you know that a man never tells a girl what he's giving her? Why spoil the surprise?
Oh, Daddy, a wristwatch. Oh, perfectly perfect. Thank you.
I knew you wanted one, so I thought I might as well get it.
Oh, Dad, I've wanted one for years, just years.
How many years?
Well, ever since I could tell time. Let's see. That was way back when I was six.
Oh, half your whole lifetime.
Yes. But it's nowhere near my birthday, and Easter's nearly a month away. Why did you buy it now?
Kay, this is a reward for being so kind to your baby brother.
Yes, dear. All those hours you spent teaching him how to pick up his toys.
Oh, you needn't have bought me anything for playing with Tommy. Don't you know that I'm very fond of the little guy?
Some people are so pleased when they teach a dog to do a new trick. We like dogs, too, in our family, and we like to teach them tricks. But have you ever known the satisfaction that comes of teaching a helpless child how to feed himself? Our whole family shared the joy of knowing that Tommy was one step closer to mastering the muscles in his little body. At an age when other children are creeping, Tommy couldn't even sit alone on the floor. But Stan bought him a kiddie car and moved the rear wheel so wide that he couldn't tip it over. Along about this time, we had another visit from Stan's mother.
Oh, I almost wish that I'd spent another whole month in California.
We almost wish that you had, too.
Huh? Why, what do you mean?
The climate does wonders for you, Mother. I haven't seen you looking better in years. Have you, Joan?
Oh, Mother, you're looking simply wonderful.
Oh, well, I try to avoid overexertion. My heart, you know.
Yes, I know, Mother.
Are the children all asleep?
Yes, I think so.
Well, the other day, I visited a home for crippled children just in order to have a talk with the man in charge. He's very nice. Tall, very gray, and with a Van Dyke beard. You know the type.
Yes.
They're doing wonderful things for spastics in that place. They're getting results that would have been impossible 20 years ago. It's only 60 miles from here, and it wouldn't cost you a penny if you had him committed.
I think Tommy's coming along all right.
Oh, he's not doing badly. I was really surprised at the way he can whiz around on that kiddie car. But think what he's missing.
What is he missing?
Oh, my dear, you have no idea. Tables with holes bored in the middle so that they can relax while they use both hands.
We have a table like that.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Well, there are all sorts of other things. A phonograph and records so that they can learn to do things in rhythm with the music.
We have that, too.
Oh, well, that's nice. Do you have a sandbox and monkey bars?
Yes. Would you like to see them?
No, not just now. But you should see all the other contraptions they have. For instance, a table for kneeling and a table for standing, both with a hole in the middle.
We have those, too. Mother, if you can name one thing that we don't have, I'll buy you a new hat.
I can, but I won't take that up with you just yet. Where did you get all your information?
Well, the public health nurse comes around regularly and gives us a lot of ideas.
And the Society for Crippled Children has supplied us with a lot of very helpful plans for exercise and education.
Well, you're doing a lot better than I expected. But you're still not giving that poor child what he would have in an institution.
Mother, you're being very critical.
No, I don't think I am. I told you once that you ought to put him away for his own good and for yours, too. I still say I'm right.
You say there's one thing we don't have.
Yes.
Well, what is it?
You don't have other spastic children.
Oh, good heavens.
That's very important, Joan, according to what I was told. When they play together, they discover what is lacking in one another. And the thrill they get out of playing together makes it possible for them to do things that they couldn't do otherwise.
Well, perhaps you're right. Maybe that's something that we have overlooked.
Of course it is. And someday you'll be sorry.
Stan and I were determined that Tommy would grow up and go to school just like any other boy and girl of his age. We skipped kindergarten because he wasn't ready for that. But we found him able to totter off to first grade, and so we arranged it so that he could enter school. A few weeks later, I found that it wasn't working out as we had expected.
I won't go to school no more.
Tommy, what's the matter, dear? Don't you like school?
I like the teacher, but I hate the kids.
Oh, Tommy, you'll learn to like them,
dear. No, I won't.
Well, what's the matter with them?
They laugh at me. Some of the boys, they walk like I do. They walk and follow like me. Then they laugh. I hate them, Mommy.
Oh, darling, darling. Don't you know how much we love you? Kay is so fond of you, and Bobby likes you so much. And Dad and I think you're a very special little boy.
But I don't want to go to school no more.
Tommy, dear. What do you think that Bobby would do to any boy who made fun of his brother?
Oh, he can lick a wall.
Well, you just wait till Bobby hears of this.
But, Mommy, I don't want Bobby to hurt him. I want to make friends with him. Why do they pick on me?
Why are children so cruel to their playmates? Why was Tommy laughed at because his legs were spread to keep his balance while he walked? We can't answer questions like this, except to say that children are often cruel and thoughtless. My son Bobby could have sent Tommy's tormentors home with bloody noses, but that wasn't the answer to our problem. A few nights later, Stan came home with a pair of boxing gloves. For a long time, he trained Tommy in the business of how to take and give a punch. Finally, I heard him tell Tommy one night.
Now you can protect yourself, fella.
The next time that you're annoyed by a group of boys, walk right into the crowd. Pick the biggest boy in the group. Don't lose your temper, son. Watch your balance and your arms, and then let him have it right on the nose. Be sure you hit him hard. Then, smile at the rest of the crowd and walk away. Your troubles will be over after that.
Days later, my son Tommy sent the biggest boy in his class home with a bloody nose. As I remember it, I cried for the first time in many years. But it was joy and pride that brought tears to my eyes. Because while I would never admit defeat, I was so happy that we had won another victory. There were other fights, but he won them easily. A few days later, Jim Allison came around and offered him a membership in a club.
Is Tommy home?
Oh, yes, Jim. He's right here. Tommy, Jim Allison is here.
I'm coming.
Okay.
Excuse me, I have to go upstairs.
All right.
Oh, hi, Jim.
Hiya, Tom. Say, we're going to have a new den for Cub Scouts. Like to join up with us?
I guess so. What are you going to do?
Oh, we'll have a stamp club and lots of things. Throw darts, go on hikes.
Gee, it sounds swell.
We're going to meet over at Mrs. Myers' house. You know where that is.
Yeah, that's where Jim Myers lives.
Tom, he ain't mad at you on account of how you gave him a bloody nose.
He isn't?
No, he'd like to be your friend.
Well, I'd like to be friends with him, too. Only I can't go on long hikes.
I don't think there'll be long hikes because, well, Mrs. Myers isn't the kind who'd like long hikes.
In that case, I'll join up.
This was the first time that my boy Tommy had been accepted by his classmates. You may think that it was easy after that, but it wasn't. My boy still walked with his feet too wide apart. Stan took a long strip of linoleum and drew his footprints the proper distance apart and in a straight line. Tommy practiced walking back and forth on this line until he could walk more gracefully. The next summer, I remembered what Stan's mother had said, that a spastic could improve himself by playing with other children who shared his condition. We took him to the school where the teacher said to us,
Mrs. Roberts, you've done a wonderful job with Tommy.
Oh, no. We've just done what we learned that we should do.
You can't tell me that the way he responds is pure good luck. You brought him here for a special reason.
Well, yes. My husband and I think we're about due for a long vacation.
Well, you certainly are. I know spastics. I've been working with them for 6 years. And your boy is able to do so much more than the others that it'll be a joy to have him in our class.
But all we did was to put him through the regular program of exercises that we learned from the health nurse and the Society for Crippled Children.
Well, you've given that boy a wonderful start in life. I gather that he's already in school.
Oh, yes, and he's doing very well.
Well, he still has a few little handicaps. When he tries to run or when he tries to write, he's still uncertain.
Yes, I know.
But when he gets into a play program with a lot of other children of his age, you wait and see what happens. You see, in the excitement of being actors in a play, they forget all their self-consciousness. They do so well and they learn so much.
Miss Letterly, do you feel sure that what they learn this summer can be carried over into later life?
It all depends on the life they find when they get back home, Mrs. Roberts. If they have parents who glory in their achievements, if they have parents who provide them with love and understanding, it's amazing how much we can accomplish.
It's strange how people who would never think of laughing at a blind child or a cripple will stare and make remarks about a spastic child. Tommy built up a wonderful resistance to this kind of thing, and he walks the street with his head held high, and he ignores these peculiar people. We feel that Tommy is now leading practically a normal life for a boy who started out 16 years ago as a helpless cripple. And I would like to say to you fathers and mothers who have a spastic child, never give up. Give your child the chance he deserves.
Thank you.
Once more, we present Dr. W.W. Bauer, speaking for the American Medical Association. Dr. Bauer.
About 10,000 children with cerebral palsy will be born in the United States in 1948. About 85% of them will live beyond the first year of life. This is a small number in a large country, but they make serious problems for themselves, their homes, and their communities. For most of them, the greatest help must come not from the doctor, but from other sources. The doctor may be a general guide, but he does not have time, and he should not be expected to supervise all the details of training. There may be help from public sources, such as state departments for crippled children. Mostly, these can be addressed care of the State Department of Health. But in general, any communication addressed to the Director of Services for Crippled Children, care of the state government, will reach the right person. Your local school board may employ persons with training and experience who can help. Finally, it is always helpful to become acquainted with the parents of others in the same situation with your child. Handicapped children have the same fundamental needs as normal children. They have to be loved and to feel secure. They need to be happy most of the time. They are perhaps better for brief tastes of not too severe unhappiness, because it helps them to realize that life will not always be satisfactory. The handicapped child has to have these normal needs accented, because for him, they are more difficult to achieve. The handicapped child should do everything that normal children do insofar as he is able. This means that he should not be pampered nor overprotected, but restricted and helped only as much as necessary. There is no use trying to protect him against unthinking cruelty by other children, because you cannot live your life and his side by side. He must learn to protect himself in the company of other children, and once he does this, they will respect him, and he will respect himself. The child's physical capabilities should be carefully studied from the standpoint of vocations, employing special consultants if necessary. These children can usually be trained to make a satisfactory living, and then they need not be condemned to a life of limited, drab, unskilled physical labor, which will certainly result from lack of training in childhood. Most important of all, these individuals should be accepted into the family on a full basis of par value as an individual, and should be subject to the same disciplines and endowed with the same privileges as any other member of the family, except only insofar as their incapacity necessarily limits them in certain directions.
Doctors Today is presented by the American Medical Association and the National Broadcasting Company through the facilities of NBC and its independent affiliated stations. We present this program on behalf of the thousands of physicians who are working night and day to protect and preserve the lives of 141 million Americans. The American Medical Association invites you to join us again next week to hear another report on the progress of medicine and surgery in America. Doctors Today, written by William J. Murphy, comes to you through the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company and the independent affiliated stations associated with the NBC network. The orchestra is under the direction of Bernard Berquist, with original music composed by Emil Soderstrom. The entire production is under the direction of Norman Felton. Heard in today's cast were George Kluge, Sharon Granger, Tommy DeLeon, Florine Sears, Jess Pugh, Alma Platts, Stuart Sklam, and Eloise Kummer. Your announcer is Henry Cook. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.